You're listening to The Takeaway.
At the trading fair.
At the trading fair.
At your Ford dealer's trading fair. All the 60 Fords are going to be there. At your Ford dealer's trading fair.
Wow, that is a great old ad. It's got new relevance, though. More people might be shopping at their Ford dealer fair because the automaker is posting a surprise second quarter profit. It's one of several developing auto stories here and abroad, but we'll start here now. Ford is the only one of the big three automakers not to have undergone a recent bankruptcy, and it reaped a profit of $2.8 billion for the second quarter. On the face of it, it's a good news story, but is that the whole picture? Joining us is Nick Bunkley. He writes about the auto industry for our partner, the New York Times, and he's interrupting the Ford conference call to join us this morning. Thanks for that. And Nick, you know, what are Ford's profits, you know, telling us about the health of the company?
Well, really, as much as it's possible for an American automaker in the midst of this horrible slump in the industry to be on a roll, Ford seems to be sort of doing just that right now. They reported it's actually a $2.3 billion profit, but that does include quite a bit that they gained from some debt restructuring. So they did lose a little bit of money in the quarter on their actual operations. But it still it was far better than some analysts had been expecting, and of course much better than its competitors have been doing lately.
Well, again, with the competitors, you know, what's Ford doing right?
Well, part of it is just that they didn't go through bankruptcy and they didn't take any bailout money from the government, and that's really drawn some positive attention to them. And of course, this all goes back to something they did a couple of years ago, even before any of this downturn started, when they basically mortgaged the whole company and borrowed a bunch of money that has been sustaining them through this period. So that's every day turning out to be just a better decision that they made, really not knowing how much it was going to help them.
Okay, Nick Bunkley, stay with us. You're from the New York Times auto industry writer, and now we have the BBC's business correspondent, Russell Padmore, who joins us from London. Russell, I understand you're excited about the luxury car maker Porsche, which had an abrupt change in leadership. What's their story?
We've been watching in recent days, actually, different developments connected to the auto industry. Intriguing today here in Europe, a long-running battle between Volkswagen and Porsche seems to have come to an end with Volkswagen the winner. To give you a bit of history about it, let's go back in time. What's happened today first, Wendelin Wiedeking, he's the boss of Porsche. We now know he's going to step down. He's been at the company 16 years. Now, a long time ago, he started engineering a situation that, because Volkswagen looked like it was having financial difficulties, he thought it might be nice for the smaller sports car maker to buy its big rival. And they continued to build up shares in Volkswagen with the idea eventually that Porsche would have control. But the trouble was, Porsche got into debt buying those shares. It's accumulated debts of about $14 billion. And now Volkswagen's turned around and decided that because Porsche's in debt, it will buy control of Porsche. There's been a bit of a battle between Wendelin Wiedeking and the chairman of Volkswagen, Ferdinand Piëch. I will get to the family element in a moment. But effectively, Wendelin Wiedeking is out. Volkswagen gets its way. Ferdinand Piëch, who effectively runs Volkswagen, but his family are also shareholders in Porsche, is going to get his way. And in this David versus Goliath battle, I'm afraid in this case, the German Goliath of Volkswagen becomes the winner.
All right. Well, that sounds like a bit of a soap opera. I want to get you and Nick to give a very quick take on the South Korean auto company Hyundai. And it's the fifth largest automaker. Russell, just give us a little tiny bit on how they did.
We had some confident news from Hyundai today. This company seemingly doing well, and because many other companies, GM, for example, have been lagging behind, restructuring and that sort of thing, slowly but surely this South Korean company has managed to build itself up into one of the bigger players in the world. Good news from an Asian car manufacturer, and of course, I suppose a lot of it is being driven by demand in Asia. We're watching Ford, we talked about them a few moments ago, trying to develop their market in Europe. GM having troubles in Europe and doing its best to sell off the likes of the Opel brand. It's intriguing, though, that probably because some of those economies in Asia, particularly China, are doing well, that's helped Hyundai.
Well, Russell, thank you for that insight, BBC's business correspondent. And we're going to go back to Nick Bunkley of the New York Times. Is there anything that Ford can learn, or all the American automakers can learn, from Hyundai?
Certainly Hyundai has been doing very well in the United States as well. They've been doing some leading-edge types of programs to get attention to themselves. Starting earlier this year, Hyundai had the program that allowed people to buy a vehicle, and if they lost their job, they would be able to take care of some payments and not have their credit rating take a big hit. And that's something that both GM and Ford followed on a little bit earlier this summer. And then Hyundai is also trying to jump ahead with this Cash for Clunkers program here in the United States that's about to start, starting basically tomorrow. But all this month, Hyundai's been allowing its dealers to give buyers a credit through that program. So that's also gotten some of the automakers here in the U.S. looking at ways they can better take advantage of that. So they've really done very well in drawing attention to themselves, and Ford has done that as well, which has really helped them this year.
All right. Well, thanks for that, Nick Bunkley, who writes about the auto industry for our partner, the New York Times. And we also had earlier the BBC's business correspondent, Russell Padmore, from London. Now we turn to Femi Okay with the headlines.